Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, Matthew chapter number 7 today. Matthew chapter number 7. I'm thankful for everyone that's come today and been in the Lord's house. And do pray for our preacher. He's going to be headed back and traveling on Monday to be back with us. And so he'll be back here and chomping at the bit. I've been talking it to him just a little bit, and he cannot wait to get home and get to work. Amen. And not that he's not been working while he's been gone, but I know that he's been preaching out and some things. And so just pray for him that the Lord will give him traveling mercies. I do encourage you, as Brother Burt said, I thank God. I will say this, just let me take a little bit of time to tell you how thankful I am for Landmark, all right, and all the ministries of this place. And I'm a product of the college and a lot of the things and the people. The Landmark Baptist Church is full of people who changed my life. Some of them have gone on to heaven today. And they've graduated before I got there, amen. But they left something behind in me, amen. And I'm a product of that. And I'll just say, as Brother Jesse is a graduate of our college, just let me say, these young people have done some things. Every one of those different art things that they've done had to be scriptural. They had to have a verse with it. And just go by and encourage them as they try to. You know, we need good people we need some good godly art in this world. Can I tell you that sometimes we retreat out of the world and the world is left faithless because the faithful have kind of surrounded and drugged the wagons around themselves, and we kind of huddled together, and we need to be able to put out good things and good product out of our Christian school and out of every place here. I just want to bare my heart today. I left the college board up because we did have a bunch of young people here this week, and we left that up, and you're welcome to the things that are on the table. Please have access to that. That way you can familiarize yourself with our college and maybe the application. If you have somebody that needs to get an application, take one and give it to them. We want you to have those things. Maybe you want to use, I think there's college devotionals. There's some T-shirts on the table. Maybe you just like to wear a T-shirt. You wear a T-shirt every once in a while. Take one of those and wear it and advertise for the college. And I just want to say that, you know, Brother Jesse, who was just up here, and we have our dinner show this Friday night. I don't know how God works my life. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad got saved when I was 5 years old. And because he got on fire for God, it changed my life. My dad and mom, throughout my life, I can tell you, I remember living in a Christian home, and we were not rich by any means. We struggled constantly. And the reason we struggled was not because my dad didn't work. My dad worked two jobs so that myself and my sister could go to a Christian school, because my parents thought it was worth sacrificing to take me and put me in a place where I could learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just about salvation, but about what it all was about. And I could be around good, godly people every day and around other Christians. And can I tell you, it's still worth sacrificing for, folks. We live in a day and age where we sacrifice for a boat or for a car or for a house. And listen, all those things are going to burn up one day. The only thing you'll be able to take to heaven with you is your children or your family. And we know that to be true. But so many times we don't invest in the things, the most precious things that God has given us in our lives. Now, I know there's homeschool, and we're knee-deep in that as too. If you need good homeschool curriculum to train your children to be Baptist, then the only one that I know of that's doing it is us. Amen. There's a lot of other homeschool curriculums, but there's only one that I know that is boldly Baptist, and that's the Landmark Baptist curriculum. Amen. And so if you have a need, listen, but Brother Jesse has a unique testimony. You know, we have this dinner show, and one of the reasons Pastor asked me to do this. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to one of our dinner shows. I know we're going to get to the preacher. Amen. Thank you for that. Many of you haven't been. Let me tell you, I'm not artsy in any way. I've never been to a lot of plays. You're not going to find me out at any worldly play, out watching those things. Not that it's because I just don't have a lot of time to do that. But I thank God, and I enjoy the programs that we put on here. They're always good. They always come to a place where we can give the gospel at the end. And Brother Jesse writes them. And Brother Jesse has a unique testimony. Someday you ought to stop and talk to him about it, how he pursued his own dreams and some things that were inside of his heart that I believe that God put there, and trained in some artsy type colleges. And then God got a hold of his heart that he called him to preach, amen? And he decided to follow God's work. So he had some training and to be able to do some of the things that he does right in this place for the Lord's will. And he came to Landmark Baptist College, finished and graduated, and is now on our staff. And I thank God for him. He just sang. I just wanted to take time to do that. Listen, if you have not gotten a ticket, I know we got a plenty of them for the 4:30 show. If you love Brother Jesse, make sure you go after the church and get you a ticket, all right? Now, I know that's a small group, so I'll say this. If you love Brother Parsons, all right? If you love Brother Parsons, go back and get a ticket. I know that's even a smaller group, okay? But if you love Pastor Carter, listen, he's going to be here. This is one of the times that he's going to be able to be at that dinner show. It is a mystery. It's going to be a good one. It's good food, good time, and even better than that, I don't know how many times you can just plan on being there and sit at a table with other good people and fellowship with God's people at dinner and enjoy a show. And so listen, if you've never been to one, it's $20 a ticket. I promise you, the food will be well worth what you spent, and you'll get all the rest of it with it. It is down in the College Tower, and you cannot miss it if you go down Henson Avenue. If you pass by without looking at it, then you have a cataract on this side, okay? Because it is a large building. So it's right in the middle of town. Now that I've advertised for almost everything we do, all right, except for the business office, and I took some time to get on Randy one time before, so I won't do that today. Brother Smith, and take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 7. I want to preach on the subject today. A flood is coming. A flood is coming. Now, you say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? Now, I'm just going to say there's a flood coming. And you need to be ready for it. There's a flood coming and you need to be ready for it. Let's pray together and then we'll look at a familiar passage of scripture and then we'll ask the Lord to help us this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for our church, dear God. I thank you for the members that have come and assembled themselves here. I thank you for the visitors that you brought into this place, dear God, and maybe they're here today and they do not know if they died today that they'd go to heaven. They're not sure of that. Lord, I pray today through the preaching of your word, through the scripture that they could see that they can come to Christ and be saved and have a home in heaven. I pray that they'll accept you as their Savior and change their destiny from heaven to heaven from hell. I pray, dear God, today. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter number 7, I want you to look at some verses here with me. I want to read some things, and then I'm going to take off like a bullet, all right? And you just try to keep up with me, all right? And the camera guys up there, just let me say I'm sorry before I start this morning, okay? Everyone that tries to get this on camera, I am sorry, all right? I know that if you think that you don't like how I run around, just imagine the guys that are trying to keep the cameras on me, okay? Matthew chapter number 7, look at verse 21. Everything that precedes this, just to give you a little bit of context, is talking about salvation. It talks about two different gates. What Brother Jesse sang fit real well. It talks about two. There's a narrow way and there's a wide gate. There's a wide way. And listen, can I tell you, it's the narrow way that's going to get you home in heaven to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't follow the crowd. They're going to lead you to the wrong place. And he goes on and he talks about, you say, well, how do I know? I've been in church. I've been a good person, Brother Parsons. How can I know that I'm saved? The Bible even goes on to tell you, better check up with your fruit. What are you producing? You know, you say, well, I don't believe we should judge. I do believe the Bible says judge not. But I think that the Bible says we can be fruit inspectors. We can look at each other's lives. And if we're not producing the fruits of the Spirit and the things that we ought to be doing, then we can say, I don't know if that person is saved or not. I should look in the mirror and go, Am I producing what I ought to produce as a Christian? I ought to see those things in my life to know that I'm saved. One of those things, and I'm thankful being in church, but beyond that is, am I telling other people about Jesus? And he goes on, but now he gets to a place where he's going to really put down where the rubber meets the road. He's going to tell you that, listen, just because you think you're saved doesn't mean that you are. There's been people that have lived their life. They've been Sunday school teachers. They went to some church all their life. But they never came to a place where they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21 with me today, and he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And it is the will of God that you accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just take a minute and say, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I plan to preach against everything that's wrong in the world today. But listen, if you are not saved and you've never come to a place where you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your payment for sin, then the biggest problem you have in your life is that you're on your way to hell and you're lost without Jesus in this world. But thank God, listen, we got to preach last week that there's something different about this Jesus that we preach, that he didn't just die, that he wasn't just buried, but he rose again on the third day. And that's what makes him different, everyone. The reason that I can live someday is because that he lives. The reason that I can accept Christ and be saved is because of the blood of the holy begotten Son of God, because he died on Calvary, paid for my sin and your sin, friend. And all the Bible says that you need to do is the will of God is accept him as your Savior. Now he goes on, he says, everybody that says this is not going to be saved. Now look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Jesus would say that? Jesus would say that to someone? Listen, if you have never accepted him as your Savior, then you're not in the beloved. You're not a begotten Son of God. You're not coming. You haven't been born again into the family of God. He goes on to say this, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Can I say today, there is a flood of immorality going on in our world. There's a flood of evil pouring all around us. And listen, I am going to tell you today, this flood is trying to wipe away everything that is good, right, and decent and moral in this world. That flood does not care about you. That flood does not care. Now, they'll tell you they care about you, but they don't. Listen, if you as a person try to stand, they don't care about your rights. They want their rights. They want what they want in this world. This week, I was listening, and I think I'm proud of our president as he has stood and he stood up for right. And listen, it's been a long time for some group of people, the liberal crowd out there that says that they care about everybody's right. Not one time throughout history have they ever stood up for Israel and said, that's wrong. It's bigoted to hate Jews. It's bigoted. Listen, they ought to be. Why in the world are we sending good money, good dollars over to places that would kill and hurt the Israelites? Why would we send good money and support to a group of people? Our president finally stood up and said, I denounce that. Yeah. Our president stood up this week and said, I'm against that. Now, see, we like to select groups of people, but he finally stood up and said, it's wrong for y'all to leave this group out. If you're going to stand up for the rights of every man, then let's stand up for the rights of every man. Can I tell you today, we live in a day and age where a flood is coming for us if we don't watch it. I read in the Sword of the Lord just a few weeks ago that there was our House of Representatives. He turned down a bill. There's a group of people that are trying to press a bill in that would allow doctors to save an aborted infant. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Now, I believe abortion is evil and wrong, and I think they ought to outlaw that mess altogether. I believe it's killing babies when you do that. Hey, man, that's good preaching, Brother Parsons. You know, there was a day and age in this place that would have been a resounding amen. Can I tell you today, it's evil, it's wicked, and we've come to a place where we've let the flood wash over us to a place where we're numb to it. We don't realize it's so wicked. We don't realize it's so wrong. You say, well, it's a choice. No, what choice? What choice, to kill? That book says we can't kill. Any other killing that you did, you get locked up in jail for the rest of your life, but we've legalized that in our country. There's judgment coming on America because of that. Let me tell you today that they voted that, listen, if that baby comes into the world, even after somebody tries to kill it, God, listen, God Almighty made us with resilient bodies, and that baby can be born and still alive after someone tried to abort it. And it is illegal in this country for them to give that baby the care that it ought to get, like any other citizen on planet Earth. If they walked into a hospital, should get life-saving treatment. It is refused to an infant that's been aborted. And our Congress and these people that say that they want choice and they want rights for you and everybody else, listen, that baby that's born has a heartbeat, has breath in its body. They'll let it die. They won't give it any assistance. They won't even tie up its wounds. Where there's a flood coming of immorality in this country, and it's upon us, friend. And we better wake up and realize that if we don't do something about it, who is? The House of Representatives isn't. Our House, listen, can I tell you? That same group of foolish people, according to the Scripture, they voted that every kitten has the right to life. Right after the bill got voted down that children cannot receive care when they've been aborted and even, listen, born alive. They voted that a kitten has the right to life. Can I tell you today, there's no cat on this planet that is as precious as a human. There's no cat born on planet Earth that has a soul like a human baby. Jesus didn't die for kittens. Jesus didn't die for any other animal that you can think of. Jesus died for you and I. You're looking at a young man that my mom had the choice to legally, from my age, the year that I was born, I could have legally been aborted. But my mom chose to have me. My mom chose me to raise me in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My mom chose me. Listen, it is not going to be the House of Representatives or any bill that is passed is going to change America. It is going to house soul winning. It's going to house changing everybody that's in the doors. And we need to start here in Haines City by going door to door, going to everybody that we know, telling everybody that we know. Listen, that's wrong. That's wicked. You say, well, what about if they don't like it? Listen, last time I checked, we had the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the flood of evil in our country has already come to a place where it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of health care. They've changed our Constitution already to that. Amen. And I would submit to you this morning, by what they voted in Congress, there's no right to life. And before long, it's going to come to a place that it's not just the birth stage that they want to put us out of this place. They're going to soon, if it's legal to do it to babies, someday they're going to give anyone over a certain age, you don't have a voice either. Check it up, friend. Every socialistic country or communist country on planet Earth somewhere along the way gets to the place where the older folks cost too much. So they come up with a philosophy to put them out of this life. See, the babies, they cry, but they cry in the womb. But listen, we better stand up and cry now. We better stand for what's right now. We better stand for what's right because a flood is coming, folks. And listen, not just a flood of sin. It's sin flooded into this place when Adam fell in the garden. And it passed upon all men. But we need to preach the good word of God and the doctrines of the Bible because the world is flooded with immorality. Listen, there is a bill being put forth in our Senate and in our House right now called a Bill of Equality. If that bill passes, not only will we no longer have true freedom of life, and we will no longer just have freedom to pursue our own happiness. Listen, can I tell you, they're going to take away our right to liberty. That means free speech, if you would, friend. They're coming to a place where now, listen, that bill, they're trying to sneak it in under everybody. Everybody, listen, can I tell you, look it up for yourself. They're trying to make it illegal for a man to get
get up and preach against homosexuality. They're trying to pass that bill to a place where it's illegal. It's hate speech for a man to get up and preach the Bible. It would be hate speech for me to preach against abortion. And they're calling it the equality bill. Equality for who? Not too long ago, one of our graduates wrote something for the Lakeland Ledger when we were talking about these bathrooms and everybody kind of being able to use whatever bathroom they wanted. And he named it Stampeding the Majority. Can I tell you today that we're being stampeded, we're being flooded by a small group of people and they're running over us because we're asleep. Because we've come to a place where we just think that these rights are guaranteed us and we could never lose them. Can I tell you today that men, when they pen that Declaration of Independence, they pledge their lives. They pledge their families and their fortunes. Somewhere along the line, believer, we're going to have to come to the place if we're ever going to live in the America that even I grew up in, we are going to have to pledge ourselves, our lives, our families, and our fortunes to preaching the gospel, to getting the truth of Jesus Christ around the world, because we will not stop the flood of immorality any other way by standing up and saying, that's wrong! We're going to have to take off work and stand on the side of the road like people that are wicked and hold a sign against babies. We need to stand up and hold. You know, there was a day when this church used to go and picket abortion in the clinics. Listen, how many of us would take our time and our day and go stand out with a picket sign and picket for what we believe? We just let things go by and we don't stand up for anything anymore. We need to live in a day where we stand up for what we believe. We preach what we believe. We pay for what we believe. We need to bleed what we believe. Can I tell you, we live in a day and age where we're pacifistic at best over our faith. Whatever happened to onward Christian soldier, marching as to war? I used the word, and I think it offended half of you last week. We need to be militant in our faith. That wasn't offensive when I was a boy. When I was a boy, that's how I was taught to be. I was taught to say yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Even in the best of circles anymore, I go to the store and I'll say yes, ma'am, and someone's offended at me. You don't need to say yes, ma'am, to me. Yes, ma'am, I do. This flood is upon us, friend. The flood is imminent if we don't stand up. You see, in Noah's day, there was a group of people. I'm sure they were good. You think he was the only person in his family? Noah wasn't the only one in the good line of people. But none of them believed God. None of them believed what he preached. And he preached and he preached and he preached. And God had made a way to save that family alive. God didn't leave them destitute. They worked all they could to build a boat. And then they preached. Can I tell you? That boat pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. A way of salvation from the flood that's coming. The flood of judgment upon this earth. Can I tell you today? We live in this thing they call the grace age. You know why they call it that? Because God didn't, he didn't ask me to build a boat. And if you're here today, some of you think you need to work your way to heaven. That if you build your ark, if you do enough works, you'll get there. If you build it up, if I work hard enough and I saw enough boards, if I do right, if I do this, if I do that, I'm going to get there. No, friend, the ark's already been built. God sent his son from heaven. And he lived a perfect life. He filled full the law of the Old Testament. And then he died on Calvary and paid for my sin and your sin and built the ark of salvation for everyone that would believe in him. For all time, he laid down his life. Whew. But I got to preach about it last week, and I'll preach it again. Amen. but he didn't stay dead. He rose up on the third day. He went to hell and took captivity captive. And he ascended unto heaven to his Father. And today, he left us here for a job, a purpose. To take the foundation that he laid in salvation and build upon it. To build an edifice. The Bible uses this terminology that we are lights in this dark world. That we're supposed to build up a lighthouse that everyone that passed by could be warned of the danger and the floods to come. And they could see, and even though as the tide climbs higher and as the water grows higher and as the flood beats against the house, that person can stand. Can I tell you, they can stand all the waves of time and the crashing of the flood, and they can scream out, Jesus saves! Jesus saves! What is a good picture of the Christian life, boy? It's just standing in the storm. It's standing when the floods come. There'll be one. That the house that stood will be called out of this place. And the others will be ruined. Can I tell you today, this book is absolute truth. We live in a day and age where they say there is no absolute truth. But God did not leave us destitute. Amen. God left us the book. Amen. He left us truth for us to be able to live by, to stand by, to be saved by, to trust in him by. You see, friend, I've never been to Israel, but I believe it's a real place. I've never been to Calvary. I've never seen the spot that my Savior bled and died for me, but I believe it happened nonetheless. I have not seen the empty tomb, but I believe it's empty nonetheless. Not because I've seen it with my own eyes, but because a book told me it was so. That is absolute truth. Listen, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ, let me tell you that he's a real person. He went and lived a perfect, real life. And he died on a real cross for you. And he paid for your sin debt with his own blood. And then he rose again so that you could have life in years to come and eternal life. Listen, if you're here and you're not saved, I beg you to come to Christ today. Don't wait another day. Give yourself to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. And if you're here and you're a believer and you've fallen asleep, we need to get back to work and build that lighthouse that we ought to be for the world to be able to see the truth through us. Building up that building that we are. We have a foundation that will stand. The rock, the Bible says, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything built on anything else will wash away. I thank God that I was born again into the truth and that I set my feet upon a rock. In the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can stand in the stormy days to come. Can you say that? Can you say that today with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning? I'm going to pray. And then we're going to stand and we'll have an invitation. But if while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're in an attitude of prayer, is there anyone here today that would say, Brother Parsons, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died today that I'd make it to heaven, but I want to know that. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? One anywhere if you're like that today. I really want to pray for you. Don't mean I'll come to you. We won't point you out, but I sure do want to pray for your soul. Is there one anywhere? Would you hold it up if there is so I could see it and pray for you? All right. It means we're saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved. But you've never made public profession of your faith. Would you, this flood of evil, boy, it's good to be a part of a good local church. Would you step out and come down and take my hand and say, Brother Parsons, I want to make public profession that I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've already done that and you're ready to be baptized. Would you step out and come down and surrender yourself for baptism? I'm going to pray now and then we'll stand. And then the altar's open. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for these people that have listened so intently. I pray if there is one that does not know Christ, that they'd be saved. I pray they'd walk the aisle and come and shake my hand and say, Brother Parsons, I need to be saved. I need to accept Christ as my Savior. Maybe there's one that just needs to be baptized. And they'll step out and they'll come to the front and say, I need to surrender myself for baptism. We'll ask you people to do whatever you've asked them to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?